Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now for my listeners, let me ask you a question. Would you like to write a book? We all think about it. You know, I wrote my first book when I was 50, and guess what? I've never looked back. It was one of the most amazing experiences. Tell me, can you imagine what it would be like to write, to persuade, to inform, and to entertain other people? Have you ever wanted to know more about paranormal experiences? Well, I know I'm fascinated with them. Now, would you like to learn what happens when you actually sit down and write your book? It's a big step. Tell me, have you ever heard of a series of books called No Angel Series? Now, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for today? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to start writing your own book? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I'd like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today I'll be introducing you to my co-host. She is an author, a success coach, and she will provide us with information, inspiration, and some really, really great advice about starting your writing career. I am pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talkboard Media, and we are syndicated on 6 networks with over 5 million listeners to date. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure. So now it's time for you to sit back and relax as you enter the no wine zone. Pour yourself a glass of wine, get some cheese and crackers, and enjoy our show. Now let me tell you a little bit about our guest today. She graduated cum laude with a BA in education, but she is currently taking a break from teaching while pursuing a writing career. She has 7 books published, 2 traditionally and 5 professionally self-published, with many more to come. Her books are unique, with every book taking you places you never imagined. She writes across 4 genres: mystery, suspense, fantasy, historical fiction, time travel, and realistic paranormal. All of her books have elements of sweet romance, and while none of her books have profanity or sexually explicit scenes, each book is intriguing and white-knuckle intense. Her books are the kind you can't put down. Welcome to our show today, my co-host, Teresa Sneed. Hi, Teresa. How are you today?
Hi, January. I am fabulous. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm looking forward to having you on the show. You know, I wrote my first book when I was 50. I've shared that with my listeners so many times. For me, writing was just the most ecstatic thing I've ever done. How do you feel about writing?
Oh, my goodness. It's been a journey for me. I remember I was very young when I began to develop my passion for writing. Uh-huh. But I remember that it was a very scary thing for me because, you know, when you write something, January, mm-hmm. you're opening up your whole soul to people.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just like they can stomp all over you. And so it was kind of a scary thing. And when I first started writing, I really didn't know that I was going to actually ever be successful. Mm-hmm. I'm just so glad that I just kept moving forward and kept doing the things I needed to do to develop my writing. And so now today I've got 7 books published and I have many, many, many more that will be coming out.
Oh, I know you do. I know. Now, let me, when you were a child growing up, I was a compulsive reader. I fell in love with the written word. How about you? Did you read a lot as a child?
Well, you know, not to reveal my age or anything, but
yeah,
there wasn't a whole lot to do in a little town in Maine mm-hmm. back in the 60s and 70s when I was growing up. Yes, I was an avid reader. That's way before home computers or anything like that. So if I wanted to learn about anything, I went to my local library. The Thompson Free Library in Dover Foxcroft, Maine, and that's where I went. And I went there frequently, and I would just walk around and pull a book off the shelf and open it up and start reading. And then words have always had such a power for me. It holds this great power. And so I would take things, little passages that really were intriguing to me, and I'd hand copy them down and take them home and tack them on my wall by my bed.
Oh, no. Well, you know, for me, books were an escapism, and it took me to other worlds I wanted to visit and know about. I love books. I still, to this day, even though I have probably 1,500 books on my Kindle, I still love when someone sends me a book. I love to hold it and feel it and touch it, and it's just kind of a physical thing for me to actually. And of course, you know, as you know, when your books are published, they're like having babies, aren't they?
They are. I love them. I've got a nice little display in my work area where I have my books. I've got some antique irons, you know, the ones they would put on the stove to warm up. I've got antique irons that I'm using as bookends. And my books are right in between that. Yeah, that's really cool there. But yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. Not to get too personal, but to get personal.
Yeah.
When I was growing up back in the 70s, my father, he was a drinker. And there wasn't much in the way of community things that could help a child growing up in a dysfunctional home like that. Mm-hmm. And so for me, reading was a great way to escape. I could read a book and then bam, I'm in Middle Earth.
Yeah. Well, my dad was a drinker too, and I think that probably is why we relate to each other so well, because for me, books were escape. They took me to the world that I wanted to inhabit, the world where I was headed for. Yeah. And of course, I'm obnoxious about my books. I have them all framed, the covers, and they're when people come into the house, it's like my shrine. So, I mean, writing is, for me, it was very therapeutic. How about for you?
Me too. Yes, absolutely. The very first novel that I wrote before I really thought I would actually be a writer is like 27 chapters long. It's called, It's called, what did I call it? Together at Last and Forever, which is a really great title, I think. Okay, well, I was the main character, and I took that character through the ringer. I mean, boy, I cried because it was my life that I was writing about. And then it's in a cabinet. At the very bottom drawer. One of these days, I'll dig it out, because that was when you hand wrote books out.
Oh, yeah.
One of these days, I'll get it out, and I'll take a look at it and see just how sappy it is.
Okay. Well,
probably,
you know,
super sappy.
That's fascinating, because, you know, I've never written fiction. I've always written nonfiction because I'm a fiend for research and bibliographies and all of that. But I mean, I'm actually terrified of doing fiction because I'm afraid where it would take you, because you basically it takes on a life of its own, doesn't it?
It sure does. Your characters, that's what I was explaining the last time we had our little talk, that if I have a writer's block, it's because my characters are saying, hold the phone here, you're not going that way. And I need to go back and see where I lost it and pick up and move to a different direction. It's always a better rewrite. Always a better rewrite.
Okay, well that's good advice. If I'm ever brave enough to do fiction.
I need to tell you too, though, that because of your love for nonfiction, my books are definitely fiction, but there is so much research that goes into them that are based on nonfiction, like my Salem Witch Hunt books.
Oh, yeah. And of course, like you, I love history. I love research. I love going back. And your Salem Witch Haunt, that book is an amazing book. Now, tell us a little bit about the No Angel series. That's what we're going to talk about today, Teresa.
Okay. Well, my No Angel series currently has 4 books that are published right now.
Uh-huh.
And it's cool. My goodness. It's not even close to being finished.
Really?
I envision the main character to be an older woman, and she's not even out of high school yet. I can't get her out of high school yet. She keeps having all these adventures. I just wanted her to shut up and grow up, but she won't. So the No Angel is a story of a reluctant guardian angel named Jonathan Stewart. When he was on Earth, he had a really bad experience as a mortal, and after he died, he did not want to go back to Earth as a guardian angel. But in my books, it's required of all dead people to do just that, at least one time. He makes it really clear on the Guardian's Unlimited application that he's not interested in being a guardian angel, and even requests an EMD, which stands for a spirit mark for early death, just in case. And then several years go by, and he's settled into his job as a director at Heaven and Earthbound. And then this really beautiful girl requests him as her guardian angel. Now he's got to go to Earth, a place he really detests, and be a guardian angel to somebody he doesn't care about. You won't like him at first, but I tell you, by the end of the book, you'll just be crying and you'll just love him. that's the premise of the No Angel series. And his story is carried through all of the series. Uh-huh. But there are other people. The girl I'm talking about, she's not even in. Well, she has a little cameo spot in book one. Uh-huh. And then her story really begins to develop in book two. Oh, there's my phone.
Tell them we can't talk now, but we're gonna take a break and have a commercial, and we'll be right back with Teresa after she gets off the phone.
Okay, thank you.
I've seen dead people. Author Teresa Sneed says with a grin, they've spoken to me. Teresa Sneed writes fantasy, mystery, suspense, and realistic paranormal with a touch of sweet romance. She writes what she knows, full of insight into the spirit world coupled with a panache for humor. Her No Angel series about angels and demons interacting with the living are simply fascinating. Sneed has 3 more series as well, from Wizards and Dragons to Witches of Salem. Visit TeresaSneed.com for more information or search for Teresa Sneed Books on Amazon.com. Every decade had its musical phenomenon. The 1960s had Motown, the Supremes, the Temptations, Martha and the Vandellas, the Four Tops. The exciting new book, Reflections of a Love Supreme, Motown Through the Eyes of Fans by Tom Ingracia, presents 140 never-before-published photographs taken by fans from around the world that tell the story of the people, places, and things that made Motown the music that inspired a generation. Relive the memories of a time when we were all dancing in the streets, and the music of Motown reigns supreme. Reflections of a Love Supreme, Motown Through the Eyes of Fans, is available from Amazon.com. Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. people are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor, with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back to the No Wine Zone, and I'm visiting with my co-host, Teresa Sneed, and she just took a call from one of her friends during our commercial.
No, actually, it was my doctor.
Oh, but there you go. That could be important.
Yeah. I said, excuse me, but I'm having a live interview right now. Sure. Could you call me back, please?
Yeah. Well, you're on iHeartRadio, so there you go. Yes. Let's talk a little bit. For our listeners who haven't met you before, let's share a little bit about your history with your great-grandmother, Salem Witch Hunt. I mean, that is a fascinating story. Could you share a little bit with us?
Thank you for asking me about that. I'm really pleased that people are really enjoying this book quite a bit.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It is a very thoroughly researched book. It's a time travel. And uh-huh. You mentioned my grandmother. I am the ninth great-granddaughter of Susanna North Martin, and she was one of the women hanged as a witch in Salem. She was 71 years old. Can you believe that? 71.
No, and I'm 72, so that really fits
home. Yeah, 71. I mean, 71 years old, and she was a widow, and she was a landowner. And so, you know, when somebody was accused of a witch, well, there went your land. There went your land and everything. And so it was a very political thing.
I'm very curious. Did many women during that era own land?
Well, that would be something I'd have to really research to tell you. But I'm betting, yeah. And the reason that she was a landowner is because her husband passed away and left her land.
Okay.
And so that's why she was a widow. And that was one of the things that was a strike against her, because it was very hard for her to hold her own, especially at 71.
Yeah,
Her husband did go to bat to her years ago, because she got accused as a witch. I forget how many years prior, when he was living in Boy, he gave it to them and they took it back. They pulled it back, and nothing happened. But now she had to fight on 71.
Wow. And so she actually was hanged?
She was hanged on July the 19th, 1692.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so how did you go forward from something like that? Because that would be something that would hang over a family, wouldn't it?
Yes. In fact, her children were, at least some of her children were looked down on, you know. They were looked down on. Very famous poet, Whittier, I believe that he wrote a poem about my grandmother's daughter. So she would have been my grandmother, too, because that was when I came. It's a very beautiful and moving poem, and about how she was being ostracized and left out, and how wrong it was.
Yeah, and people even realized then, how many women were actually hanged as witches? Do you know the total?
Oh, you know what? If I could pull it from the top of my memory, I'm thinking 17, around that, and there were six men that were hanged. Did you know that?
No. And why were the men? Were they considered witches too?
Warlocks, yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Warlocks.
Yeah. Well, and they were, but, you know, like one of them, Giles Corey, is that his name? Corey Giles? Giles Corey? See, I should have really looked at this before this interview. But again, well, anyhow, he was actually pressed to death by rocks because they wanted him to you know, say either yes or no that he was a witch, and he wouldn't do any of that. Because he didn't want to lose his land. He knew that that would happen. Mm-hmm. But so he didn't. So just to get a confession out of him, they kept piling rocks on top of him until it crushed him.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is horrible thing to do. And you know what? I even hung a dog. Can
you
believe
kidding.
That?
Oh, my gosh.
And they were going, they even arrested children. There was a 4-year-old girl, remember her first name was Doris, or Dorcas. Something like that. And she was never the same after that happened because they put her in prison. They put her in those dirty, filthy, dirty, unsanitary jails. I believe there was about 150 on up people that were actually jailed.
You know, and crazy things are happening now in our world. And then when I go back and look at this, it just confirms that we've always been in a very crazy, crazy world, haven't we? With very strange people. Where did they come from? This is just so bizarre.
Where did they come from? Well, that again is a very deep question. The Puritans, mm-hmm. of course, they escaped England, I believe, for religious reasons. They wanted to be able to come to a country. Figure. They wanted to come to a country where they could practice their religion, and yet they were a very, very pious group that was very unforgiving, especially of Catholics. They thought Catholics were Satan's spawn. They were very, very strict.
Was your grandmother Catholic?
No, she was a Puritan.
She was a Puritan. So you know, it didn't make that much difference, did it?
No.
Wow. Yeah.
No. They persecuted each other all the time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They were always pointing the finger at each other. And you didn't have to do anything to be accused of a witch, really. Martha Corey, Giles's wife, she was hanged as a witch. And she was hanged as a witch because he inadvertently said, oh, she keeps tripping and falling. And to them, that was like, well, if you were accident prone, then you were a witch, which is
ridiculous. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
That's one of
Wow. What a fascinating history that you have. And you've shared it in your wonderful book. Right now, we're going to share a word from our sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the No Angel series that Teresa has written and that we are so thrilled to be able to promote here on the show. We'll be right back.
Come explore with Clyde McCauley the world of the Little Cuties Let's Pretend books with your little one. Imagine the funny, mixed-up emotions of an onion that cries when it's happy. And delight in the giant ears that make a little elephant special. Meet the engaging characters who will inspire imagination and build curiosity in your little cutie. This is where the love of learning is born. So discover the world of Little Cuties Let's Pretend today. The first two Little Cuties Let's Pretend titles are at Amazon and StoryNightPress.com. January Jones presents Drs. Ed Feiereisen and Bob Ruotolo, co-founders of Motive Creations, as sponsors. For those seeking more empowerment and control over their happiness and well-being, you have come to the right spot. MC365 provides the necessary tools and techniques to make your life even more spectacular. Today is the perfect day to start your journey to become happier and healthier. Our mission is to help you achieve yours. Seeking to reduce stress? Start now. Want a better relationship? Start now. Increase your self-esteem? Start now. Do you want more passion in life? Start now. Enroll at www.januaryjones.com. That's januaryjones.com.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes? People who have priceless personalities? In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions.
Welcome back, and I'm visiting with a very priceless personality to me. She is my co-host today, Teresa Sneed. Teresa, could you share your website info and tell everyone how they can get your wonderful books?
Well, my website is my name, teresasneed.com, and you can find links for all of my books there, or you can go to Amazon and type my name in and type in books. Are No Angel and my name, Teresa Sneed. And Teresa is T-H-E-R-E-S-A, Teresa. And Sneed is S-N-E-E-D, Teresa Sneed.
Okay. And, you know, I'm curious as a writer, what kind of writer are you? Are you get up early in the morning or do you write late at night? What's your writing schedule?
Well, I am very, very fortunate because when I was teaching full time, I was a late night writer.
Uh-huh.
I would come home from work. I'd come home from work and grade papers and then stay up as late as I could. Mm-hmm. I was younger then too, but now that I have the luxury, I find myself as an all-day writer. In fact, right up until the time that we connected for this interview, I was writing.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And then so now everything's kind of flipped now. So in the evening now, I've spent a whole day of writing. That is now my official job. And in the evening, then I can spend time with my husband and my family and just kind of kick back and relax.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting how we all start out because when I started writing, my husband was flying with the airlines and he was gone a lot. So I was usually writing like at 11 or 12 at night. I would write till 2 or 3 in the morning, save everything, go to bed, and then wake up the next morning and say, who wrote this?
Yeah, it's true.
And I always found that at night, you know, the universe seemed to be helpful to me with
quiet.
My writing. Yeah. The quietness.
I
loved it. Now, let's go back to your childhood. Does that have a big impact on your writing?
It surely did. My childhood experiences have helped me, have developed me into the person that I am. They do. That's what childhood experiences do.
Yeah.
My love for fantasy came from my mother reading to me. I had a fascination and a love for Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss books. I remember learning to read with Dr. Seuss. And I would read The Cat in the Hat. I get to the end, I go back to the beginning again. I get to the end, I go back to, because it was fascinating. It was a world like I'd never imagined before. So my fascination with Dr. Seuss books helped me to develop the ability to look at things from wildly different perspectives. My passion for science kept me searching for the why and how of things and a drive to believe that a greater intellect existed than that of man. And then my belief in angels came from religious, very special experiences I had as a child. So I'd have to say without a doubt, my childhood experiences weigh heavy on my writing.
Yeah, now you write in so many genres. What's your favorite, if you had to pick one?
If I had to pick one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that is a difficult question.
I love
them all, but I'm going to have to say that if I had to pick one, I would probably say the angel one, the angels, because I love it. But the one I'm working on right now is actually the Sons of Elderberry, and it's a like a Harry Potter kind of thing. It has dragons and fairies and pixies, and oh my goodness, am I having fun with that. I love it. I love it. It's just so much fun.
Okay. Now, do you map out the stories? I mean, like, do you have an outline before, or do you let the characters just take over and direct the whole thing?
Well, actually, I have to say that I always begin with the end in mind. I always know where my story is going to end, how it's going to end.
Okay.
But the in-between stuff, it's mostly driven by the characters.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I love that. So they become real people in your life.
Well, this book that I'm working on right now, Elias of Elderberry from the Sons of Elderberry series, I wrote this book long time ago. It's already been published, actually. It was doing really well in Europe. They were just snatching it up. And then I realized that I wanted to go back and take a second look at it. And so I divided it in half because it's a really thick book, like 475 pages. And I wanted to make it a little bit more. Yeah. So I went back, and the things that I had written in that, they were like, they were so cool because I just had little tiny things written in there, you know, that you kind of skim over. And then when I went back to do a rewrite, incredible, rich detail started to come from these things that I just put there. You know, like I have a scene where one of my characters, Samuel, he's about a 17-year-old newly discovered wizard, and he's on his way up to Elderberry Castle to see it for the first time, and it's a very secluded mountain area, and he goes by these rock spires. And now I did research. You hear my dog barking, probably.
It's okay.
Oh boy.
It's all right.
Anyhow,
no problem.
That means the plumber's here. Anyhow, the rock spires, and I did research on these. There's these things called the fairy rocks, and the wind blows through the holes, and that makes these sounds. Well, I put that in my book. Little did I know that the second rewrite has now created a whole people that live within those rocks. My pixies live within those rocks.
Okay.
So I've got all this pixie stuff, which I researched too. I researched it really heavy because I like to make sure that anything I write with fantasy is based on folklore and stuff like that.
Okay.
So it's got really richly woven into the story.
Oh, I mean, I love having you on the show because guess what? You're getting me excited about writing. and I mean, I'm the old nonfiction bibliography gal, but I'm really, you're enticing me into this world where you let people loose on your computer and see what they come up with. That it's fascinating. Yeah. In one or two words, describe for you what the best thing about being an author is.
Well, the best thing about being an author is that you're validation of your imagination.
Uh-huh.
That you're validated. I'm doing an interview in here. She brought the dog
well,
out here.
Come on the show, too. Is that the plumber?
Yeah, well, the plumber, and then my mother-in-law brought the dog out, so the dog is just having a grand old time. He's very, very protective. He's just a sweetie.
And what's your doggy's name?
Oh, he's Perky. And he is Perky.
Okay. Well, you know, yesterday we did a fun show with Bernie Siegel, and he wrote he's written 14 or 15 books, and this last book is Animals, Love, and Miracles. And we did it with Bernie yesterday, and he talked all about all of the animals in his life and all of the animals that we all share. So it's always, I'm happy to have Perky on the show today.
Yes. And I think we're going to be hearing him in the background, probably right up to the bitter end.
Yeah.
He's a sweet dog. He's a little Yorkie. He's just a cutie pie, but he barks a lot.
Okay. So let's get back to work now. Let me ask you, Is there a message that you have for your readers when you're looking at your body of works?
Oh, yes. You know, I was listening to what you said about listening to your advertisements about your books. Mm-hmm. And I can tell just from what you write that mm-hmm. you seem to be a very compassionate person, and that you have, you know, you want to be able to reach people with what you're writing to help them to know that yeah. everything's going to be okay, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's how I feel, too. That's why I write. That's why I write, because I want people to have a little escape like I've always had in books. And mm-hmm. a fun escape, nothing that's going to slap them in the face or jar them, but something that will just make them laugh. My books are very humorous. There's a uh-huh. lot of humor in it, and there's a lot of really interesting, intriguing things. I've got a lot of things happening in my books that people go, oh, my heck, how did you ever think of that? Because it's honestly, I tell you, has not been thought of before. Uh-huh. I have different angles of things, and yeah. Yeah. I just love doing that. Well, I love the aha moments with readers. Yeah.
I think that's why we've connected so well, because I adore humor. And, of course, my idol is Irma von Beck, because she had that knack for housewife humor that I've tried.
I used to read.
Yeah, I've tried to write about that. But right now, we're going to hear from our sponsors. And okay. when we come back with Teresa, we're going to talk about the worst thing about being an author. And for me, the worst thing was when my first book was on the front cover of the National Enquirer. There you go. We'll be right back.
From cowgirl to caregiver to consultant, meet Becky Fiola, author of The Elder Care Consultant, your guide to making the best choices possible. Growing up on remote ranches across the western states, she tended to orphan creatures large and small. Later on, that nurturing instinct served her well as the primary caregiver for her late husband. And now, she offers hope and guidance as a consultant to the elderly and their families. When you need advice on caring for an aging loved one, you can find those answers and her book at Amazon.com and her website, www.assistedlivingadvantage.com. Executives, managers, entrepreneurs, and professionals. A people strategy and change consultant, award-winning author, emotional intelligence practitioner, and trainer, Yvette Bethel, can provide you with strategies you can use to empower yourself, grow your people, build your culture, and transform your results. For insights and strategies you can use to develop yourself to build a high-performing team, you can subscribe to Yvette Bethel's weekly podcast, Evolve, Mastery for Leaders of the New World, and sign up for her newsletter at YvetteBethel.com. That's YvetteBethel.com. YvetteBethel.com.
January Jones wants you to grow your business fast, getting free PR, doing interviews with podcasters and internet radio shows. Grab your free copy of our audio how-to course called How to Build Your Business, Get More Email Subscribers, and Make More Money Free Doing Podcast and Internet Talk Radio Interviews. Grab your copy right now at realfasttalkradio.com. Again, that website is realfasttalkradio.com.
Welcome back to Real Fast January Jones, sharing success stories. I'm visiting with my co-host today, Teresa Sneed. I love having her on the show. We're a couple of gals who are writers. It's wonderful to talk about writing. Okay, Teresa, what's the worst thing about being an author?
Are you ready for this?
I don't know.
Marketing. Marketing, marketing. Ugh. All I want to do is write. Why do I have to market?
I hear you. And it's funny because when you start out and you get that wonderful New York publisher, you think that's the end of your problems. And guess what?
Right.
You're the flavor of the month, and guess what you have to do? Marketing. How have you handled it?
Well, I met this awesome lady called January Jones.
There you go. And we're marketing.
Well, this is part of the marketing, yes. And I actually have done a lot of interviews. If you go to my website, charissasneed.com, there's a little tab there that says interviews, and you can read them. In fact, I will put this one up there, too, so that it can be read. But, yeah, I do a lot of interviews. I do book signings. I try to make as many book signings as I can in the communities that I'm in. And my website is a huge marketing tool. In fact, all of you writers out there, potential writers, whatever level you're at, you need a website. You need a website that you keep current.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm so on board with that, too. And I'm very lucky because one of my daughters graduated from an internet tech school, and so she keeps my website current, and it is important.
It is very, yeah.
Yeah, keep it current. That's really, really good advice. Book signings, I always had a problem with that. I also, I did a lot of them, but I wasn't very good at that.
Yeah. Well, that's where I met you. Remember? I met you up in Pine Top or Strawberry or something in Arizona.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I know. But I'm still not good at it.
Yeah, I know.
I'm better at talking with people on the radio, and it's like having friends come to visit. So you chit-chat and get to share things with them, which is what I adore doing, and I adore sharing other people's success stories, and you are so successful.
Thank you.
Okay, here's a good question. Which author, I love this one, dead or alive, so that leaves me out, would you most like to have lunch with?
Okay, well, I have to see. Oh, my favorite author, without a doubt, is J.R.R. Tolkien, The Lord of the Rings. And hopefully he'd have his good buddy C.S. Lewis with him.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I love J.R.R. Tolkien. I was a Tolkien fan way before Tolkien was big. Uh-huh. I've been a Tolkien fan since the 70s.
Yeah,
and I just, oh, my goodness. I just love the way...
That's why you're so into that genre. When it comes to writers, I have a fascination with Joan Didion and the way she wrote about having been in L.A. and California, the way she wrote about that. Okay. What advice do you have for any writers who are listening to us today?
I think that the greatest thing that you must have as a writer is a desire to write. There has to be a reason for that desire, and I believe that the reason is a deep understanding of an important part of who you are. Because if you have that desire, it's very, very important that you really are willing to do the work that you need to do to develop that desire into something tangible. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to take constructive criticism. You must be willing to take that constructive criticism and learn from it. Mm-hmm. I recommend building up a writing resource library and read about point of view, how to develop scenes, character setting, etc. Study grammar as needed, especially if someone critiques your work and points out specific problems. Mm-hmm. Take those really seriously and dive into everything that you can to understand and improve that part of your writing. Yeah.
Yeah, critiques are, they have to be taken in the spirit that they're giving. And, you know, I have found with other writers, our writing world, everyone, it seems to me, everyone is here to help you. It's like, it's a wonderful, magical world once you enter it that everyone wants you to succeed. And the competitively, it's not there. Everyone wants everyone else to do well.
They do.
You agree? Yeah.
I do agree. And, you know, if I could say one other piece of advice along with that is that don't give up. My first published book was the first book in the No Angel series. And it was my first traditionally published book, too. And you know how I wrote that? I wrote it by committing to write just one page a day.
Okay.
6 days a week. But what happens when you sit down at that computer and you're committed to write one page, it usually morphs into many more in one day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think another thing is that if you want to be a writer, you've got to be a reader. The best writers are avid, passionate readers. You learn tons from reading. You need to read with a critical eye. Identify what works and what doesn't work in books that you choose.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that is such great advice because, you know, one of my other co-hosts, Connie Hockrell, she's in this competition where they write 50,000 words in 1 month and they submit it. And I mean, it's like a brutal. I love hearing about it.
I've done that. A novel in a month in November. I've done that. I've written two or three books that way. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I mean, she tells me about it every year and we talk about it and it just blows my mind.
They have it in the summer too. They have it in November and then they have Nano Camp in the summer, which is a little bit more relaxed.
Oh my God! Yeah, I don't know that one. Just I'm glad you know about that because it's crazy.
It is crazy, insane. It is.
Yeah, but I think as you said, it's important to write, and I don't advocate writing 50,000 words a month, but I do like your advice to write one page a day. And, you know, the tortoise and the hare, that'll do it for me. Mm-hmm. I have loved having you on the show. And Teresa will be back with us in April. We'll talk about more writing tips. And maybe by then I'll start my first nonfiction book or my fiction book.
one page a day. So when I talk to you next month, you should have 30 pages written.
Okay. we'll wait and see about that one. My wonderful guest today, Teresa Sneed, thank you. It's always fun to talk with you. It's always fun to share our writing stories. It's fun to encourage other people to think about doing this. This is something that a lot of people talk about, think about, but they don't do it. So our message is sit down and write one page a day, right, Teresa?
That's right.
We hope you've enjoyed our show today as much as we've enjoyed doing it for you. My upcoming guests are all exciting, eclectic, and energizing, just like Teresa. This is the show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become a successful writer, too. I'd love to welcome you to our No Whining World. Sign on to my website, januaryjones.com. We love sharing our stories, our struggles, and especially our secrets for writing success. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, my dear friends, stop whining, start smiling, and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. Thank you to my guest today, Teresa Sneed. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.
Thank you.